Tonight, I'm going to first address questions. We've got some good questions for Ask Catherine, and I thought we would clear those first. Then I'm going to do the wrap-up. We have 10 stories. It's our way of describing the first quarter. And then a section on heroes, and let's go to the movies. We're using Unlawful Killing, the documentary made about the death of Princess Diana and the subsequent formal inquest into her death. First question, which is a series of questions, and I'm gonna answer it in a series, step series. Number one, it appears that events in Cyprus presage our destiny. Yes, I will be talking about that as the last story in the roundup tonight. Eventually, our government will be taking our money, or a large percentage of it, which is in IRAs or savings accounts. Well, it's more complicated than that. There are many different ways that a resolution of unfunded liabilities can hit our financial position. Let's talk about some of them. One is debasement of the currency and inflation. That's been the preferred choice. It's continuing as we speak. Shadowstats estimates that that inflation is now running February to February 2012 to 2013 at 9.6%. If you look at the price of food, it certainly fits with that. But debasement has been the greatest extent to which this is financed and has significantly cut into the purchasing power of our assets. Another is extension of the retirement age. One of the ways to address the unfunded liabilities is to simply move back the date at which people are eligible for Social Security or other retirement benefits. Lowering the life expectancy, as I've described in the Salieri report before, study announced last year that Americans with only a high school education have, since the early 90s, their life expectancy is lowered 5 years for women and 3 years for men. That's a big savings on the Social Security Trust Fund. Mandating savings. We've seen plans to do more to pressure people to put funds away in IRAs and 401ks. And of course, there's always the risk that there are plans come about that encourage those funds to go into financing the Social Security and other private payments, so forced into Treasury or Treasury-like securities. We've seen proposals that we've covered on the Salieri report before, proposing that those funds be swapped into essentially a government annuity. Also, a big one is forcing monies onshore, part of the Cyprus story and a story we're seeing today with headlines in The Guardian and The New York Times about leaks on offshore deposits. There's been an explosion over the last two decades of funds held offshore. The more those monies can be forced back in onshore, it's a much bigger pot of money. In fact, today in the New York Times, we see estimates of $32 trillion. So it's a much bigger pot of money than is sitting in IRAs and 401ks. Of course, there's always increased taxes. There's always confiscation of real estate. And of course, the way this has been resolved throughout history, there's war. What to watch for in terms of 401ks, I do encourage people not to keep all their eggs in any basket, including in IRAs or 401ks. I personally don't have any as a result of games the government played with me during the litigation. And you can read that story up on the blog if you do a search for 401ks and my name. I think the signs you need to see of pressure to change the rules on 401ks, IRAs, and that will include defined benefit plans. You need to watch legislative proposals. We cover that on the Salieri report and on the blog, so I'm the first to point that out if I see things happening. It will come up. The danger is it comes up in a big budget deal that touches Social Security and gets rolled in there, and it's far from the biggest squabble going on at the time. So when you get a big package, particularly one that touches Social Security, that's the time to watch out for that. You also, what I do is I watch the policy leaders and think tanks working on proposals. These are fairly complicated changes to implement, which means the firms responsible for implementing need sufficient time to work out the details to go operational, and so that usually gives you a sense of the timing. Those are the two things to watch out for. The third thing, very important related to increased taxes or increased capital controls, whether formal or informal, are any enforcement issues that give greater central control, which is why I've been so, I put such a great emphasis on the gun control issue and also emphasis on the rolling out of the drones, because the push for gun control is to give central authority more power to do these kinds of things. And so if gun control should happen, if drones should roll out, then you're going to see an acceleration of these kinds of proposals. So you also want to keep an eye on that. The next part of the several series, I feel tempted to take my money out, but I do not know where to put it. Read my blog post, Rethinking Diversification. I think that will help. There's no magic bullet here. It's a matter of having your money in a variety of different options, including those things that reduce your expenses permanently. So rather than invest, for example, in securities, you can invest in doing those things around your home base that will permanently provide the capacity yourself. So you're a lot less sensitive to inflation or anything that would dramatically reduce the cash you had to pay for ongoing expenses. The question continues, even gold and silver can be confiscated, and if one puts money overseas, our government can demand that country to give it to them. Again, there are ultimately the only stash that is really under your control is a stash that's under your control. So having it overseas is not necessarily going to be beneficial. Yes, the financial institutions abroad will respect the U.S. government. So if the U.S. government passes a law and says they've got to send all the money back, they will. There are advantages to having money in different places, including other countries. So I continue to encourage certain kinds of offshore accounts. But the theory is, the theory that you can get away from what we're dealing with is, I think, naive. We're operating, dealing with a force that wants to control globally. It's not just in North America. And if you go elsewhere, you're going to run into the same problems, including the U.S. U.S. jurisdiction and U.S. Law. The biggest issue you need to be concerned about is not so much money, but food, because ultimately we're looking at a two-pronged effort to control the financial system and control the food system. And of the two, the food is probably the bigger part. So think not just in terms of money, but in how you can make sure you provide a fresh food supply for yourself. So, and also think in terms of how you can operate at lower expenses if you need to. Coins continue to be a great form of stashing. And then for now, don't worry about FDIC insurance or SIPC insurance. Those are good for now. We're going to have to see how things evolve. But for now, if anything, money's going to be coming back into the United States seeking the protections of those kinds of government insurances. Maybe I should consider my mattress. Thank you. Don't forget family and friends. Yes, cash under your mattress helps, but one of the things you will find over time is that people who will support you are in turn often a good investment. I'll never forget during the Iceland crisis, a reporter walked up to a woman who was coming out of the bank, and she said, I just pulled out all my savings. And he said, what are you going to do with it? And she said, I'm going to pay off my mother's mortgage. My mother will be there to help me. Who knows if the bank ever will? Another question, we are all forced to use fiat money the world over. I just spoke with my cousin in Sweden, and as I plan to visit there very soon, she wanted to warn me that I cannot change dollars at the bank as I usually do. You must use a card. Even if she she cannot withdraw cash from the bank, they must use a card. This is new, and I find it very interesting in the wake of the Cyprus mess. Yes, there's a real push to go to virtual currency globally, and it's one of the things that is most concerning, and it's another reason why you don't want to get trapped inside the system. And anything we can do to prevent the system from going all digital in the United States, we certainly want to try and do. But again, it's a reason to have things outside of the digital system, as I described, to do more for yourself, to have gold and silver, to have some cash out of the system. If they do get total digital control, then we're all going to have to operate within the system unless we want to go 100% off-grid and self-sufficient. Another question. For the past few years, premiums on 90% junk coins have ranged between 0 and 2%. Currently, they are 8 to 10%. Please explain why the premium is suddenly so high. Actually, the premium on 90% silver as of Monday was 10%, not 8 to 10. And at 10%, when I talked to Franklin Sanders, he couldn't clear his orders at 10%. To clear all of his orders, he had to go to 12%. It wouldn't surprise me if it's higher by the time Franklin joins us next week for the Precious Metals Market Report. I'm going to talk about more about this in two of the stories we cover for the wrap-up tonight. Suffice it to say that what is happening in the precious metals market represents serious shortages and strains in the physical market, which are part of serious geopolitical strains. And if anything, it says that precious metals, gold and silver, are quite dear. The premiums that we're seeing right now, we haven't seen since 2008 or Y2K. So we're going to be talking tonight about how you could have such shortages and strains and people fighting for precious metal and the price going down. It's the nature of a very unusual world that we're living in today.